money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
Well, good. And we're ready to talk taxes. We've got Stephen Tiven with us this morning. We're going to continue. We had a tax program a little while ago, and now we're going to, I don't know if we're continuing, but we're going to have another conversation about that, because it is that time of year, right? That's the key. So, welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Thanks.
Stephen.
Thanks.
And Crosspoint Financial.
And Crosspoint Financial, the sponsor for today's show. So, if you're new to the show, you have found us somehow, hopefully on one of your favorite podcasting platforms. And for sure, if you're on iTunes, you want to like us, all of that good stuff. We'd appreciate that. If you're on YouTube, definitely subscribe and like. That's always helpful, increases our exposure. And if you're listening and you find this helpful or you find this engaging, then that's our hope. And that's why we do it. Actually, we probably do it because we love doing it, to be honest. This is one of the high points of my week, is to sit down with Reb and talk money with you. So,
and I have my eyebrows raised because we talk about money all the time, let's just say, but we get to do it with you, right? That's right. And Stephen's a part of the conversation tomorrow. Anyway, can we move on to the scripture verses? All right. I'm going to read from Matthew 22. You guys know these verses, perhaps. Maybe you don't. I just think it's actually quite hilarious that Jesus actually talks. You know how we say, oh, if God would just give me a sign, write it on the wall like he did for, way back when, or, send me up a mountain and inscribe it in the stone. And I'm being facetious, but he has in his word given us his words, but he actually spoke about taxes.
I find hilarious, just to introduce, is that, well, you're reading the story, pay attention to the fact that people, even back in Jesus' day, were trying to get out of taxes. They were trying to avoid them. So
yeah, right.
Here's the question.
Right, because if Jesus was the king of the new kingdom, then they owed allegiance to him. Not like as the disciples, like we owe allegiance to you. So why should we pay taxes in the land if we're no longer having allegiance to the local king? And then I think I have actually heard people in the last decade of my life come and say, well, I don't pay taxes. I don't get license plates. I don't do anything because the idea still exists today in Canada. Anyway. Okay. Then Matthew 22, starting verse 15. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle Jesus in his talk. Oh, man, there's so much in this verse. Moving on. They sent him to their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Man, that is quite a statement to summarize Jesus. Anyway, tell us therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Okay, let's just throw this out there. They're asking the question because they want to entangle Jesus in his talk. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? But then he answers them, show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius, and he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? Then they said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And when they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. I would have loved to have been there for this one. I'm sorry, I don't know about you, I get stunned by rereading scripture. There's so much in here.
And that's only the one time that they come to him, because there's another part in scripture where they come to Peter and they say...
No, oh, Peter comes and says...
No,
the temple tax.
Yeah, exactly. So the Pharisees in this app say, they come to Peter and say, oh, does Jesus pay the temple tax? Right, again, trying to get out of this. It's a test. Both of them are tests. And then, of course, Peter goes, duh, like, that's a good question. Jesus.
Well, I don't think he sounded like that. Peter was a smart guy.
Well, he didn't come to Jesus. Duh. He did come to Jesus and say, what do we do? And Jesus sent him fishing. And we know the story. He finds the point of the story, not to deviate. But Jesus says, listen, if I'm the son of the King of Kings, I really need to pay the temple tax? Like, isn't that tax supposed to go into the king's treasury, which is God's treasury, which is the King of Kings?
Which is my treasury.
Which is my treasury, because I'm his son, so I shouldn't have to pay tax. But you know what? To satisfy everybody, so I don't, again, tick people off, but also to say that.
I don't think he said that exactly.
Well, he just said God will supply everything, right?
And I think he's paraphrasing.
But then, yes, he goes fishing and he finds the tax and he pays the temple tax. Mm-hmm. I do find, so number one, Jesus talks about money all the time. Number two, they're trying to trip him up with questions. More than enough is not going to try and trip any of you up.
Stephen, and if you try and trip us up, you probably will, because I certainly am not as smart as Jesus.
Well, and Stephen is the tax guy, so like, be nice when you call him and ask your tax questions. Do I really have to pay Caesar, Stephen? And you are going to say, why, yes, you do, because you have a tax bill. You have income tax to pay because you live in Canada. Anyway, the whole point is, I find it really fascinating that Jesus does talk about money all the time, and he's relating it and giving a good answer. They try and trick him, and he just says, whose image is on it? Give to Caesar what's Caesar, and to God's what is God's. And today, We're going to dig into a little bit about, we've never talked about this, I don't think, in all these years on the radio show. What happens when you get reassessed by CRA? Like what, like those happen. See, like one of the things that Caesar does, in quotes, our Canadian government does, is reassess our taxes because they're very concerned about Canadians being honest. Because if we didn't have that reassessment, maybe a lot of us just wouldn't be honest on our tax return. So, Stephen, can you talk to us a little bit about that today? About what, let's start first of all, what is a CRA, like, I don't even know, what do they call it? A CRA review?
Yeah, it's a CRA review. And I mean, the point of the review is, since all Canadians submit their taxes. We all figure out our taxes ourselves or submit our income ourselves to the government. The point of the review is to check on to make sure you're being honest about it and you're doing it correctly. So the review is simply the CRA taking one or two line items out of your tax return, and they want to check to make sure you did it correctly.
Right.
So like, they just randomly pick any line item?
They have their favorites. So most of the time, it's charitable donations and medical receipts.
Right. And I mean, that kind of makes sense, I would think. You know, again, if you're looking at, say, a regular tax return, how many line items in a tax return are actually line items that we input the data from us? So, I mean, you know, how much tax we get taken off of our salaries or off of our paychecks. Our employer does that. So that's going to be accurate. They're not going to pick on that one too much, I would think, right?
No, not unless if you're missing a T-slip or some other item, which CRA would already know because your employer submitted that information to them.
Right. So that's a check kind of behind the scenes that happens automatically. You're, as an employer, we submit our in a sense, how much you made and how much tax that we withheld from that. And we do that as an employer. And then you submit your taxes. And if those two numbers don't jive, then they go, red flag. And
that has happened to one of our kids, actually.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Most accurately. And it took a little while to figure that out, actually. So it does happen. But okay, so they're, I won't say picking on the charitable receipts. Well, I actually find it humorous because there must be some people who really give a lot that they want to make sure, because according to Stats Canada, Canadians aren't giving even 1% of their income. But that's another story for another show. Anyway, so they go to the, so they're going to review, and do they like, is it like a lottery? Like, Stephen Tibbins name has come up, I'm going to review. Or does something get flagged in their system? Like, oh man, Steven's given all this money. I don't think that guy could give that much money. Like, how does that, is it random or is it actually? Because sometimes I think people will be like, oh, the CRA's out to get me.
That's a good question. I'm not entirely sure how. I'm not sure how CRA specifically does it, but they do have a system. I can't say what entirely that system is, but they will pick probably one out of five returns for a review.
And it's likely that a Canadian in their lifespan would probably get a review at least once.
Oh, at least. You're probably have a couple reviews in your lifespan.
But we do want to make it clear that if we have the idea that CRA is out to get us, that might not be an accurate way to think about the Canada Revenue Agency.
No, they're not out to get you. They're just looking to make sure you're doing your job correctly.
Right. Due diligence. Because I say that because I think I can take that narrative in my head with people in general. But then you've got CRA and it's this big institution, it's government, it's bureaucracy. And we have ideas about that sometimes and complain about that. But if it would be helpful in the process, if you find out you're getting reviewed, that you don't automatically leap to the, like,
they're out to get me.
I'm pointing in one direction, yes. Like, oh, they're out to get me. Like, it would be helpful if you didn't put it.
I have a question though, Stephen, for you. So what's the difference between a review and a reassessment?
So the review is them asking for the information. The reassessment happens after the review. If you don't submit anything to them, then they're going to decline all of the expenses that you may have claimed.
Right.
So, and so that's the reassessment. Okay.
So that kind of speaks to what you're talking about, Rev. Like, if I get a notification or I get a letter or I get however they communicate, and, you know, if I get that, it's really just saying, hey, we're doing a review. Please send us X documentation to prove that it is. And then away you go. But if I get a reassessment, typically that has a financial consequence to it, right? Where you're going, okay, you claim these things. We don't believe you. You didn't respond to our review request. So now we're just assuming that you're lying and that we're going to just go ahead and make the change.
Yeah. So they'll make the change on your tax return and charge you penalties and interest on any amounts that you end up owing.
Right. Right. So that's pretty important to have access to that review part, because if you miss that or you ignore that or you don't open that mail, then you could unwittingly end up getting a bill. Surprise! You know, you also know this money and you're like, where did that come from?
Yes. But it doesn't mean that you actually owe the money quite yet. You are still able to send in your receipts and your items and ask them to reverse that reassessment by proving that the expenses you claimed were accurate and proper.
So you said one in five get picked. So I get picked, I get a notice in the mail or on my CRA account, the online. Is that how they communicate?
Either in the mail or online. Okay. Yeah.
So they're not going to phone you. They're not going to send you an email that says we owe you money. So just clarifying.
Yeah, there's some stamps out
there. If you get a phone call from them, it would probably be from a collection agent, not somebody looking to do a review.
Okay, so then just,
I think that's a really good point, Brad, because, you know, just kind of pivoting off a little bit to there are a number of scams out there where people are, in a sense, representing CRA or they're pretending that they are, and then they, you know, you unwittingly again respond to that, and having access to your CRA portal is a great way to really get the real goods, in the sense of, hey, if they're going to connect with you, they're going to do it through the portal as well. Is that right?
That's correct. If they're sending you a letter by mail, it should also be on the portal. It doesn't always happen with CRA. Sometimes you do receive a letter by mail that's not on the portal. But the portal is a great way of checking to see, hey, is this a real CRA letter?
And the reason we mention it is because scams are happening all the time. And like, I mean, how a couple of years ago, they were calling whoever it was and saying, you know, you're going to go to prison next month because you owe money to the Canadian government.
Lots of fear tactics.
And, sure. And that doesn't help you as a tax person. It doesn't help our ideas about CRA. It just, because we often people are coming afraid, right? They get a review and what it, you know, I guess that's why we're talking about it and trying to dissect this idea of review and assessment, reassessments, because it's not something to be afraid of. You just have to be compliant. I guess.
I have another question just around that, Stephen. So, you know, because we're talking about the possibility of a fraud. So let's say somebody does reach out and you think, okay, I want to double check that this isn't fraud. I log into my online CRA account and there's no indication of a review letter sent. Then, you know, eventually, what's the timeline, or is there a timeline between the review and the reassessment where that should reflect in your CRA as you now owe us money? Like there'll be a, you know, at least there'll be that there. Am I correct in that?
Yes. Yeah. Once when that reassessment happens, it'll show that you owe money. If the 30 days for you to submit the documents in the review has lapsed, then it'll trigger the reassessment. The reassessment may not happen immediately after that, but it will happen eventually, and it will show up in your CRA account that you owe the money.
Right. So it may be worth, in a sense of maybe once every 6 months or once every couple months, to log into your CRA account and just go, hey, are there zeros in terms of do I owe money? Or, you know, check the mail. You know, there's a little mail section there. You can check that. Just because, again, we know in this world of, you know, so much information coming at us, we might miss it, but that's a good way that we can avoid fraud, because you're going into the CRA, you're looking in, you're looking at your profile, and if there's anything there that's been updated, it will be there.
Yeah, and whenever in doubt, you can always give CRA a call directly.
Just to confirm you're not being scammed, that this is legit, this is happening. So what happens if I don't realize I'm having a review? Like you said before the show, even if you don't receive that notice in the mail, you haven't been on your CRA account and you've missed the 30 days, can you still collect your information and send it in?
Yeah, you can still collect your information, send it into CRA, and they will do another reassessment once when they have assessed the documents.
And I'm just thinking, this actually means, like, so I got a receipt from, like, Gosselin Fraser or CHRI, I put it in an envelope, I can't take a picture of that receipt. Do they have to actually get the receipts?
Nope, we just need a scanned copy of the receipt. Oh, okay. And we can upload it on your CRA account for you.
All right.
And then, like, can I go back to 2022, 2021, 2020? Like, let's say there was a reassessment there or something and I just didn't do anything. Like, can I go back a number of years and do that? Or is that, like, once the year crosses, you're done?
There is a limit on how far back we can go. But if it was just 2 to 3 years ago, we can go back and we can help fix that.
So here's another question. Maybe it ties into the whole getting prepared for tax season. How many years of information should we be keeping? Do you have, like, we used to always say 7 years that they won't. Like, nobody's asking for more than that. Like, or how long should we keep our documents?
There is statutory limitations on it, but it only starts once when you receive the notice of assessment from CRA. Okay. So if you have never filed your tax returns and then you haven't received a notice of assessment from them.
Right.
So you still have to have those documents and file your taxes. However, if 7 years ago you filed your taxes and you got that notice of assessment, then you can start looking at getting rid of those receipts.
Do people actually not file their taxes for like 7 years?
Yeah, happens all the time.
So don't recommend. So we want to encourage you, please, don't be afraid of a review. If you don't even have them filed, please go file your taxes. It's a compliant thing. It's part of being a Canadian citizen. Wow.
Yeah, I think that's a good encouragement. I mean, this is, again, going back to the scriptures we started with. Jesus didn't say, oh, no, you don't have to pay taxes. You know, he said, no. Like, here it is. This is part of, you know, part of the life. Even back then, there were, it was the temple tax, it was the Roman tax. I'm sure there were more taxes than that you could shake a stick at. But the reality is Jesus is saying, this is part of just,
And I loved what you said earlier before the show, how Jesus isn't telling us, oh, yeah, just, you know, give. How did you say it? Jesus isn't saying just give everything you have to the tax man. He's saying give what is owed, but also use wisdom.
Yeah, I think that's a good process. Point, right? Like Jesus is saying, you know, hey, give to Caesar what's Caesar's. But if we, and in Canada, we have some of these great, legal mechanisms to reduce your taxable income. Stephen, you know, RSP being an obvious one and charitable giving being an obvious one. So, you know, the reality is there are these mechanisms that we can use to reduce our taxes so that we are only paying the taxes that we actually have to pay. And I think this is really important because sometimes we, you know, maybe I'll just speak for myself, but, you know, the tendency is just to get a little lazy with it. But being diligent with it means you're going to maximize the benefit, if I can say like that. You're going to pay less tax if you pay attention to some of these things. Or there's always changes that are going on and coming out and from CRA on their side to maximize the amount of tax they get, right? But they also have these, again, things that you can do to minimize the tax that you get to pay. And one of them that I love, because charity and giving is so much part of what we love to do, the fact that we don't get taxed on our charitable giving, I think is an amazing blessing living in Canada, you know? So that's pretty significant, so.
Yeah, I wrote it down actually. What you said, you don't have your glasses, but we don't have to give a penny more. Right. Give what's to Caesar's, but
don't give a penny more. Remember, my heritage is Dutch, and so for all those Dutch listeners, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I know taxes are actually a very controversial topic, I think, in our culture. But
and I think the other thing, just you know, while we're talking, and I'm probably doing more talking than it, but Stephen, you do speak CRA, right? So if you have a question or you're confused, because I think I'm pretty savvy. But I love that I can leave a lot of our tax stuff to you, because the reality is it's confusing. And there are things that you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. But Stephen, you do know. You get to speak to CRA. So can you speak to that a little bit, just in terms of somebody who maybe is confused and what the process might be there to help?
Yeah, well, like you said, it is a separate language. They use different terms that you might not be familiar with, right? But I'm speaking with them every day, right? So I know the language, I know what they're looking for, and I can help you know what you don't know, right? That's the biggest one. If you don't know of a tax deduction, then you're not going to claim for it and you're not going to get it.
Yeah, because they're not going to say, oh, we're reviewing this and we realized you could get a lot more benefit than, yeah. They don't do that kind of review.
Nope, they don't review your return to make sure that you're getting the most out of your return.
And that's a great point, because that is, then again, our responsibility. It's almost a little bit like, you know, and I have done this to you, Stephen, a few times where I'm like, I'm just giving you a whole bunch of these bills where I'm not sure they're tax deductible. And the example that I think of right off the top of was a few years ago, we were able to claim the children's sports and some of their extracurricular activities. And then that got changed. But I still collect all the sport and all that. And then I bring it to Stephen and I go, Stephen, do I need these? And you go, no, you don't need them. But at least, so if you're unsure, collect more, put it in the envelope, so stick it in there.
I don't even know how many minutes we have on the show left, but I actually have a question about So this is a practical one, so you can answer me here, Stephen. So I go to the chiropractor or I go to the physiotherapist or whatever. I can get certain percentage claimed, or I pay through insurance. Like, we get benefits.
Yep.
So great. But I pay like 20% to 40% on some of those things. Should I still be collecting all that I spend in that 20 to 40% and giving it to you to claim it for medical expenses?
So you can't claim the amount that you get back from insurance.
No,
but you can claim the rest of it.
Huh.
So anything you pay yourself, you can claim.
Okay.
As well as the premiums on that insurance, you can also claim that.
Do we do that? Do we
claim
it? Steven, do we do
that? Yeah, you do that.
I was just thinking about that. I'm like, I better get organized. I mean, I know that last year, if you go back to last year, we had more people in the space in the radio show, and we came up with the tax prep party.
Oh, so, yeah.
I know.
Let's revisit that in the last few minutes.
To gather people together. If you hate tax preparation and you don't want to, you can have people in the same room and bring your items together, have some food. And so we
did that as our family with our kids, right? So we've got some kids that are older that are, you know, again,
we did it online.
A couple of them were online. And you know what? In the end, what did we spend? An hour together.
Yeah, not even.
I know I was eating some of the snacks and bugging. The kids had snacks. So we all had snacks in our little virtual corners.
We did it.
And then we just kind of went, okay, let's talk about income. And we all collected and essentially went, yep, I've got all my income stuff. And then we talked about some of these other things.
And I remember at the time, I'm like, oh man, all those physiotherapist, chiropractor visits, I haven't, you know, tallied that up or whatever. And then, because you remember when you're together and talking about it. So
some of our kids were claiming some of those, and they don't have the benefit package. Right.
So the tax prep party was a great idea, but I'm sure not everybody's, they're probably thinking, what are you guys talking about? But if you really don't like doing taxes.
We did a show on that, didn't
yeah,
we?
Go, yeah, we so. Did last year. You can go back and Google it.
So anyway. Look back in the archives. As we come to the end of the show, we're leaving you with that bomb, right? Hey, there's this thing called the tax prep party, which we're not sure that we'll take the Canadian public by storm. I'm thinking not, but you know, if it does, it started here in this.
Well, video. And that Stephen reminds us that he speaks another language that we may not always understand, and we don't know what we don't know. And it's good to know that we have you. And when you come to More Than Enough, you can help with the review process. If you're getting a review or reassessment and you have concerns and questions, you can call Stephen at our office and he will gladly look into that for you so that he can interpret maybe that language that you're not understanding.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for being with us, Stephen.
No problem.
It's good. And if you need to reach out to More Than Enough, morethanenough.ca is the best way to do that. All the contact details are there. All the podcasts from before are there. I want to just give a shout out to Crosspoint Financial. They're the sponsor of today's show. Thank you, and thank you, and thank you. And join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.